for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2012 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday evening, December the 30th, 2012. Colonel Williams is the speaker of the evening, teaching on the tactic of Abaddon.
Hello and God bless you. Okay. We want to thank God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, and the precious Holy Spirit whom we all love. We want to thank the staff of Lake Hamilton, Brother Kevin, Sister Patty. We want to thank each and every one of you who have came to be a blessing here. How many of you enjoyed yourself? Amen? I really enjoyed myself. And the food was good, wasn't it? Amen. Amen. Before we share our message tonight, I want to tell you about Mexico a little bit. About a month ago, there was a mighty move of God in Cuernavaca and Morales. Saw something that I've never seen before. There was a young man from Costa Rica, and he was about 22 years old. And he came to the platform and he said, "Adjust the music on the organ. The guitar is not right. Adjust the piano." And when he did that, he moved up left and right. He paraded up and down the platform. And he began to praise God. We stood there praising for about an hour and a half. All of a sudden, to my amazement, we felt the weight of God's glory. Some people saw smoke. There were about 40 or 50 people near the platform. Every one of them started manifesting demons, and nobody touched them. There was a cry by the pastor for the leaders to come up to the platform and assist in deliverance. They were picking people up who were manifesting demons, throwing them up on the platforms to us to pray for them. And I'm standing there, my goodness, I never saw nothing like that in my life. I mean, there were animal manifestations. Because many of the Aztec gods of feathers and serpents, like Quetzalcoatl and other the pagan gods, they were manifesting like claws, and some were manifesting like serpents. That night, as I slept, the Spirit of God gave me a dream. And in the dream, I saw a cloud. And in that cloud, there was fire enfolding within itself. And then I saw these angels moving and darting back and forth through this cloud. I believe that America is on a precipice. I believe that there's about to be a mighty move of God in many ministries. I believe that. How many of you believe that? I'm excited. Man is not going to get the glory. God is going to get the glory. Give Jesus a praise. Amen. I want to talk to you tonight. Brother Pittman called me in the back. He said to me the other night, he said, "Come here, young man." I said, "Yes, sir." "You say things out your mouth that other ministers are scared to say." I said, "Thank you, sir. That was a blessing." Amen. It made me feel good. A man of that seasoned maturity. Amen. Amen. Taking notice. How many married couples are here tonight? Raise your hands, please. I want to talk to you about the tactic of Abaddon. One of the tactics of Abaddon, and I have quite a few scriptures I want to share with you, is that he causes a marriage partner to withhold sex from their mate. Many of you may say, "This is a strange message, brother." Well, you're going to be blessed. Oh, I'm getting some smiles already. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Many of you are going to be blessed. Turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 9. Let's look at verse 11. Oh, we're still laughing? Okay. Good laugh. Amen. In the book of Revelation, chapter 9, verse 11, it says, over them as king, they have the angel of the abyss. I'm reading from the Amplified Bible. Of the bottomless pit. In Hebrew, his name is Abaddon, which means destruction. So Abaddon means what? Destruction. But in the Greek, he is called Apollyon, destroyer. So in Jewish demonology, Abaddon is a marriage-breaking spirit. In Jewish demonology, he is a spirit that loves to attack marriages. I read an article not too long ago that many marriage counselors are saying that there is a rise in anti-sex in the marriage. In other words, many young couples are now sleeping in one room while the other party is sleeping in the other room. And there is a deletion of sexual intimacy in the marriage. Now let's move on as we try to understand the tactics of Abaddon. Turn to Job chapter 26, the book of Job chapter 26. Let's look at verse 6, please. The book of Job, chapter 26. Let's look at verse 6, and I'll be coming from the Amplified. Sheol, the place of the dead, is naked before God, and Abaddon, the place of destruction, has no covering from his eyes. So here we have again that Abaddon is connected with destruction. Let's look at the book of Job, chapter 28. Let's look at verse 22, please. That's the book of Job, chapter 28. Let's look at verse 22. The Bible says, Abaddon, the place of destruction and death. Say, we have only heard the report of it with our ears. Here we have again with Abaddon, the ruler spirit, the angel of the abyss. He is connected with what? Death and destruction. Turn with me to the book of Job, chapter 31. Let's look at verse 12, please. The book of Job, I'm laying a foundation about Abaddon and who he is. Look at Job chapter 31. Let's look at verse 12. In the Amplified, it reads, for uncontrolled passion is a fire which consumes to Abaddon to destruction and ruin. And the place of final torment, that fire, once lighted, would rage until all is consumed and would burn to the root of all my life's increase. Uncontrolled passion, a fire that consumes. Abaddon stirs up uncontrolled passions, a fire that consumes. Think about uncontrolled passions in the marriage. Abaddon is usually behind it. Now let's look at Psalms chapter 88, verse 11, please. That's the book of Psalms chapter 88, verse 11. In Psalms chapter 88, verse 11, it says, shall your steadfast love be declared in the grave, or your faithfulness in Abaddon, Sheol, has a place of ruin and destruction. So Abaddon here is connected with what? Ruin and destruction. And I want you to keep in mind that he is a marriage-breaking spirit that goes out to do what? Destroy marriages. And his job is not only to bring death to the marriage or destruction to the marriage, but also to bring ruin to the marriage. And right now, divorce rates are intensifying. So look at some of the charts. Look at some of the statistics. Even in the house of the Lord, I'm very baffled that in Atlanta, I know some pastors who are anointed, but their marriages are under fire. And we see the enemy right now is trying to destroy that divine union that God has ordained. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Let's read verses 1 through 5. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1 through 5. While we're reading the scripture, keep in mind that Abaddon brings destruction, ruin, and death to the marriage. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, look at verse 1. Now, as to the matters of which you wrote me, it is well, and by what I mean, advantageous, expedient, profitable, wholesome, for a man not to touch a woman, to cohabit with her, but to remain unmarried. Verse 2, but because of the temptation to impurity and to avoid immorality, let every man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. Look at verse 3, please. The husband should give to his wife her conjugal rights, goodwill, kindness, and what is due to her as his wife, and likewise the wife to her husband. Look at verse 4, please. For the wife does not have exclusive authority and control over her own body, but the husband has his rights. Okay, husbands, you have rights. Likewise, also, the husband does not have exclusive authority and control over his body, but the wife has her rights. Okay, wives, you have rights. Look at verse 5 real closely, please. Do not refuse and deprive and defraud each other of your due marital rights, except perhaps by mutual consent for a time, so that you may devote yourselves unhindered to prayer, but afterwards resume marital relation, lest Satan tempt you to sin through your lack of restraint of sexual desires. Does everybody see that in verse 5? Sexual deprivation is not pleasing to our Heavenly Father. As married couples, we are not to defraud each other. Is that correct? Husbands and wives should not use sexual blackmail against each other in the bedroom. Can I get an amen? The only time that there should be an abstinence of sex is there is a time of prayer and fasting. Is that right? Amen? Now, there's another area that I want to touch before we get into the flow of this message. You don't hear much about it, but I have respect for the babies that are here. I want the parents to know I do have respect for them. In a biblical sense, no sex during menstrual cycle, because the demons will perpetrate that blood. Let me give you some scriptures. Turn to Leviticus chapter 18, please. Let's look at verse 19. The book of Leviticus chapter 18. Let's look at verse 19, please. Verse 19, also you shall not have intercourse with a woman during her menstrual period or similar uncleanness. So, husbands, you're not to have sex with your wives during the time of their menstrual cycles. Amen? I told you it's going to be kind of touchy here. All right? Let's look at Leviticus chapter 20, verse 18, please. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 18. If a man shall lie with a woman having her menstrual pains and shall uncover her nakedness, he has made naked her fountain, and she has uncovered the fountain of her blood, and both of them shall be cut off from my people. During the times of Israel, there was a death curse. There was a death penalty for having sex during the time of the menstrual cycle. Does everybody see that scripture there? Is everybody okay? Look at Leviticus chapter 15, please. Go back to verse 15, please. In Leviticus chapter 15, look at verses 32 and 33. Verse 32, this is the law for him who has a discharge and for him who has emission of sperm, being made unclean by it. Now watch verse 33 real close. And for her who is sick with her impurity, and for any person who has a discharge, whether man or woman, and for him who lies with her, he or she is unclean. Amen? All right. Let me give you another two more scriptures here in that area of God forbids sex during the menstrual cycle. Look at Ezekiel chapter 18, please. Turn to the book of Ezekiel chapter 18, please. Let's look at verses 5 and 6. The book of Ezekiel chapter 18, let's look at verses 5 and 6. Verse 5, if a man is uncompromisingly righteous, upright, and in right standing with God, and does what is lawful and right. Now look at verse 6 closely. And has not eaten at the idol shrines upon the mountains, nor lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, has not defiled his neighbor's wife, nor come near to a woman in the time of her impurity. Does everybody see that? All right. Let me give you one more scripture in the area of the menstrual cycle. Turn to Isaiah chapter 64. Look at verse 6, please. The book of Isaiah, chapter 64. Let's look at verse 6, please. All right. In verse 6 it says, "For we have all become like one who is unclean, ceremonial like a leopard, and all our righteousness, our best deeds of righteousness and justice is like a filthy rag." Filthy rag, a filthy rag, or a polluted garment. "We all fade like a leaf and our iniquities are like the wind. Take us away far from God's favor, hurrying us toward destruction." Does everybody see that word filthy rag? In the Hebrew, it means a rag of period. Our righteousness is like a filthy rag. In Hebrew, our righteousness is like a rag of periods. Bloody. Amen? Everybody okay? Amen? All right. Okay. All right. I found something that caught my eye in www.divorcesupport.about.com. www.divorcesupport.about.com. And what I found out is some very powerful articles that really caught my attention. Withholding sex in the time of marriage can be a form of passive aggressive behavior. In other words, when a mate withholds sex from the other party, it may be a form of anger or emotional abuse. Let me show you how Abaddon works in this. The husband says to the wife, "Honey, I want to have sex tonight. I want my conjugal rights." Abaddon speaks to the wife and says, "Forget it, buddy." The husband says to the wife, "Honey, I would like to have my conjugal rights tonight. I would love to have sex tonight." Abaddon speaks to the wife to tell her husband, "60 seconds of what?" 60 seconds of what? The husband says to the wife, "Honey, I would love my conjugal rights tonight. I'd like to have my body." Abaddon speaks to the wife, and she speaks out of anger. "No pay, no play. No mon, no fun." It's happening among believers, saints. It's happening in the house of what? Of believers. There was a lady told me, there was a man that told me one time, he said, "I asked my wife that I wanted my conjugal rights. And she told me, 'Fat boy, when you remove that mountain, then maybe we can have each other.'" That was Abaddon speaking to her. When you deny each other their God-given rights of the marriage, you open a demonic portal for demons to come in with suspicion, distrust, and they can even push another married partner to have an extramarital affair. Now, somebody may say, "Well, brother, this is kind of touchy for me." But it's happening in marriages. Mates are punishing their mates because of anger, emotional abuse. "I can't have my way, then I will sexually blackmail my mate." And this is going on in God's house. Ooh, it's awfully quiet here. Are you with me, sister? Amen. Praise God. Amen. This is good. All right. Punishing your mate without sex, expressing anger, is not biblical. It's not biblical. Turn to Proverbs chapter 15. Let's look at verse 17 and 18. Proverbs chapter 15. Let's look at verses 17 and 18. How many know you can have fun in the Lord? Is that right? All right. Proverbs chapter 15. Look at verses 17 through 18. In Proverbs chapter 15, verse 17, "Better is a den of herbs where love is than a fatted ox and hatred with it." Look at verse 18. A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger appeases an argument. Look at Proverbs chapter 29. Let's look at verse 22 and 23. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 22 and 23. Verse 22, a man of wrath stirs up strife. A man given to anger commits and causes much transgression. Verse 23, a man's pride will bring him low, but he who is of a humble spirit will obtain honor. I'll give you another scripture. Proverbs 30. Look at verse 33 of Proverbs 30. I love this one. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 33. Surely the churning of milk brings forth butter, and the wringing of the nose brings forth blood. So the forcing of wrath brings forth strife. Let's look at Abaddon again. The wife says to the husband, honey, I want my conjugal rights tonight. I want my body. Abaddon says to the husband, she's unattractive. Look at all those rollers in her hair. She looks like Medusa. She looks like she got serpents coiling her hair. This is happening. Abaddon speaks negativity. He speaks contention. He speaks strife. He speaks to cause division in the marriage. He's trying to shut down the vein of the marriage bond. Listen here. The wife says to the husband, again, husband, I want my conjugal rights. Abaddon says to the husband, tell her you're gay. It's happening. The wife says to the husband, honey, I want my conjugal rights. Abaddon speaks to the husband, tell her that you are the Titanic, you just hit an iceberg, and you need a sexual diagnosis. Oh, well, that was funny. I mean, in other words, Houston, we have a problem. All right. Oh, I just have fun in the Lord, I tell you. All right. I went to the marriagebed.com and I found a list of what I call marital sex killers. And Abaddon works with marital sex killers for ruin and destruction. All right. Number one marital sex killer. Stress. Stress can attack the desire for sex. How many of you are with me here? What's that? Is it angina? Chest pressure? Rooted in fear, stress, anxiety. It affects a man's libido, his hormones. Amen? So stress is also a sex killer. And Abaddon works there. What about depression? Abaddon works with depression. Mild depression can destroy the sex drive. One of the spiritual roots of depression is self-rejection, an unloving spirit where you don't love yourself. Here's one. Medications. I hear it all the time in counseling. Medications can destroy the sex drive. It's a sex killer. It's a spirit of sorcery. Revelation 9, pharmakia. Diabetes medication, high blood pressure medication, and many of the medications that they are making now can destroy the sex drive. Sex killer. Abaddon works with embarrassment. It can also be a marital sex killer. What's the scripture that says a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh him ashamed is like rottenness to his bones, and she embarrasses him in public. She puts him to open shame. Guess what? She shuts down the endorphins in his body to lubricate his joints, or she can fill her mate with bone disease, rottenness in the bones. Embarrassment can lead to impotence, premature ejaculation, difficulty getting aroused. Abaddon may speak to either mate to castrate your mate with your tongue. Castration is used by Abaddon to put the mate down. You ain't like you used to be. You need to get on the treadmill. How about going out there and cut the yard and do something? Exercise, buddy. Go in the gym. Work out. It's happening. Happening in counsel. He takes a ton of Viagra and Cialis every day. It's doing nothing for him. But maybe it's time for God to step in and do something for him. Here's another sex killer. control and manipulation. And we spoke about that earlier. You don't do what I want, then you get nothing, buddy. Blackmail. That's not God. It's happening. What about exhaustion? Some people are workaholics. Some mates don't understand that their mates are workaholics. And they're tired. They're exhausted when they come home. They're not able to function emotionally, but they get put down. They get castrated by Abaddon. I know people who move in the gifts of the Spirit. I know people who preach the gospel, who can teach. I know those who can sing with clarity. I know those who can play instruments. But Abaddon is in their homes. He's in their marriage. They're not happy with each other. I know married couples that are anointed when they come to church. But when they get outside that door, the anointing lifts. We're in a time we're going to have to bond our relationships like glue. If it means even putting a little spunk in our marriage sometime. You know, we don't like to talk about relationships. I ain't gonna put no roses in no bath water, put no spice in them. I'm not gonna take her to dinner to buy her lobster or steak, let her go and eat some neck bones or some fish at home. I'm not gonna do all that. She wanna go to Disney World, let her go to Disney World herself. I'm driving me down the land. I'm not going to the Holy Land TBN and go to church. I hear this stuff. Hello, saints. I don't like to go to the mall with her because I stand there 2 or 3 hours while she's looking at one little skimpy dress. Hello, brothers. I must say, easy. Well, that lets me know we got some attention right here. All right. Well, glory to God. Now you woke up. Amen. All right, I have respect for the babies. Pain. Uncomfortable. I got to use wisdom for the babies. Relationship, you're uncomfortable because of pain. I don't need no doctor. I'm a man. I played my village people take the other day. I'm a macho man. Oh. There's another marital sex killer. You work witchcraft to get him, you're going to have to work witchcraft to keep him. I know a lot of couples that use witchcraft to get their husband. Now that witchcraft spirit is worn off and chaos is in the land. Isn't that something? Here's another marriage killer, frigid. Maybe he or she is frigid. They don't know how to give themselves in the marriage relationship because they were molested. Maybe they were raped. Maybe they were abused in a violent sexual manner. But we're not understanding. She don't love me no more. Brother, she was violated. I don't care. She supposed to love me. Where's your understanding? Abaddon is saying, put pressure on her. She don't do right by you, man. Go out there and get you another Jezebel. What about the secretary on your job that's looking at you? Whee! Abaddon wants that marriage. What about guilt? That's another sex killer. Making you feel guilty. Abaddon loves for you to put her down. Honey, you got those beat up shoes and you wearing that dress and your hair is not done. Well, buddy, why don't you get some money and take her to the mall and buy some shoes and get her hair done and get her fixed up? Anything you love or you care about, you will put forth what effort into. Isn't that right, honey? You're going to give me a kiss after this is over. Saints, I want you to see this. We have a tempter out there. He's just what he is, a tempter. If you're in prayer or fasting, let your mate know, honey, I'm in 7-day consecration. Don't tell them you're in a 100-day concentration and you're not coming back home the next year. See you next year after 100 days. And ma'am, don't tell them, I can't cook for you today, mom. It'll be next New Year, 2013, where I can cook. I'm on a fast. You're eating about another 50 days. Satan will try. He will try to do what? Seduce. I love that scripture.
A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh him ashamed is rottenness to her bone. It's better to be on top of a rooftop than to be in the house with a brawling woman. But we don't like to talk about these type of issues.
Brother, you're supposed to be talking about Jesus. Listen, Jesus is the nucleus of this circle. Jesus wants to bring deliverance and healing to against the spirit of Abaddon, because this thing is wrecking marriages. And you'd be surprised, no you wouldn't,
at how many marriages that are sitting here are not happy and are not functioning properly. Because the enemy is destroying the marriage bed and the marriage bond.
Turn to the book of Exodus chapter 21. Let me bless you a second. The book of Exodus chapter 21. In the Old Testament, when sex was deprived, something happened. Turn to Exodus chapter 21. Let's look at verse 10 and 11. Exodus chapter 21, verse 10 and 11, it says, verse 10, if he marries again, her food, clothing, and privilege as a wife shall not be diminished. Verse 11, and if he does not do these three things for her, then shall she go out free without payment of money. Now go back to verse 10 again. If he marries again, her food, one. This is the man's job. Her food, one. Clothing, two. Privilege. Now the Hebrew word for privilege means marital sex. Has a wife shall not be what? Diminished. And if he does not do these three things for her, then she shall go free. In the Old Testament, if a man was married to a woman, he did not supply her what? Her food, her clothing, and if he didn't keep up with the marital sex, that woman had a right to be free. Isn't that something? But what do we see today? Even among my children, my girls, the young woman works, she labors while the man sits at home. Where are the men? Men used to work. Men used to work the fields. Men used to labor. But many of these young people now, they are depending on the girlfriend to pay the bills. See it all the time. Daddy, how do you like my new boyfriend? Sweetheart, everything wear a pair of pants is not a man. Like everything they wear a dress is not a woman. Does he have a job? No. Well, all you have is a pair of pants. When I grew up, you had to wash dishes. You had to rake the yards. I'm sorry, this was abuse. They'd crack you with an iron cord or a 2x4. It was abuse. But it made a man out of you. Nowadays, I'm going to go there. Give me welfare. Give me lotto tickets. Maximilian. Three-card flash. Give me free money. Let me milk the church. I've seen this in Atlanta. Come to church. A false personality to milk the church. Can the church pay my mortgage? Can the church buy me a car? Can the church help me? You have no intention of getting saved or converted in the house of the Lord, but trying to leech or be a vampire to God's house. I didn't mean to get off of my subject here. If a man married a woman, he was responsible for her food, her clothing, and to keep mama happy. Keep her smiling. Can I talk to the men a minute? Man, it's nothing wrong with you walking in the park. It's nothing wrong with you going to the gym. Nothing wrong with you doing sit-ups. I can't say much of that since I've been here. But men, let's work out. My wife always tells me, honey, I don't care. I'm ex-military. I got to work out. She outruns me. I try to catch up with her. So much for that. Amen. Let's get back. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and 5, please. Let's look at verse 5 again. Do not refuse and deprive and defraud each other of your due marital rights, except perhaps by mutual consent for a time, so that you may devote yourselves unhindered to prayer. But afterwards resume marital relations, lest Satan tempt you to sin through your lack of restraint or your lack of sexual desire. I have seen the enemy destroy marriages. I've witnessed some of my best friends. A friend of mine killed his wife. I've seen situations where houses were burned.
I know a lady who used to witness on the street. She used to have a bullhorn and she would just witness to the men. Her husband was so jealous of her, she couldn't even go to the bathroom unless he went to the toilet with her. He had to go to the toilet. He walked in the bedroom one night and stabbed her in the heart with a butcher knife. Jealousy is a tactic of Abaddon. Jealousy is as cruel as the grave. Men, there is a spirit called insane jealousy. We need to deal with that spirit of jealousy. Every time that woman talks on the phone, that does not mean that she's talking to a man. Jealousy will have you thinking, it didn't take you that long to go to the grocery store. You must have baked the bread. Jealousy leads to murder. Jealousy leads to rage. Jealousy can lead to suspicion. We need to deal with that jealousy in our relationships. I've seen it, saints, time and time again. Abaddon will speak to you. She's being distrustful. She's not faithful. Satan is trying to tempt. He's trying to tempt. He's trying to tempt to get you off track. Marital sex is a godly duty to be fulfilled. Let me give you another scripture. 1 Corinthians 7 verse 3. There it is. It's a godly duty to be fulfilled. The husband should give to his wife her conjugal rights. Goodness, goodwill, kindness, and what is due to her as his wife, and likewise the wife to the husband. Married couples' bodies belong to each other, not to someone else, but to each other. Look at verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 7. For the wife does not have exclusive authority and control of her own body, but the husband has his rights. Likewise, also the husband does not have exclusive authority and control over his body, but the wife has her rights. Marital couples must guard themselves against the spirit of Abaddon. 1 Peter 5 and 8, your adversary, the devil, walking about, has a roaring lion seeking whom he can what? Devour. Married couples should spend time praying together. There's an old saying that says, the family that prays together stays together. Anytime that there's a lack of prayer in the family, then you're asking Abaddon to come in. I know of married couples who tell me that they refuse to pray with the wife or refuse to pray with the husband. That is division. That is nothing but bondage. And it is nothing but an open portal for demonic infiltration into the relationship. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs chapter 4. Let's look at verse 16. The book of Proverbs chapter 4. Look at verse 16. The book of Proverbs chapter 4 verse 16. Found something that really touched my heart. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 16. For they cannot sleep unless they have caused trouble or vexation. Their sleep is taken away unless they have caused someone to fall. Look what the Bible is saying. For they cannot sleep unless they have caused trouble or vexation. Their sleep is taken away unless they have called someone to fall. In other words, if you call someone to fall, you're not going to sleep peaceably at night. You're going to be tormented. The spirit of Abaddon is going to release the spirit of insomnia. I know married couples who, listen, they don't make things right before they go to bed. They'll argue. They won't ask forgiveness. They're tormented at night in their sleep because they refuse to go to your mate and say, honey, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. You know, it was the enemy that tried to influence my flesh, and I want to ask you for forgiveness. Listen, we need to learn to make things right. The Bible says if we deprive our mates of marital sex and we cause them to fall, then God will do what? He will take sleep from us. Now this is awesome here. Is that why many believers are tormented at night? Is that why in counseling many believers say, brother, I tossed and turned all night. My wife and I ain't getting along. But brother, did you cause her to fall? Or ma'am, did you cause your mate to fall in some way or the other? We have an adversary out here. That adversary wants to handle the marriage, the finances, all by themselves. He does not want the two of you to come together at the table of diplomacy. I'm appalled when men tell their wives, I'm more intelligent than you. That's Abaddon. I know more than you. You're under me. Who do you think you are? Think of that marriage-destroying spirit. I wouldn't have never gotten married if I hadn't got pregnant. I haven't gotten you pregnant. I hear it. I hear Abaddon. I hear his cries. And that's why a lot of believers, you can't function in the church properly because you're holding wounds. Because your home is not right. How many times I've seen pastors in churches, you can stand back and you can look at the wife and you can tell that she's happy, or you can look at that husband and tell that they're happy. And it looks like the anointing shifts when there's hell in the marriage. They're not a formidable force. They're not as strong as they would be if they were on one accord with the anointing. Abaddon doesn't play fair. He's also a demon of rage. In Jewish demonology, rage. Proverbs 6:32 says these words, "He that committeth adultery with a woman destroyeth his own soul." That word destroy means consumption or consuming of the body. Rage leads to anger. Anger leads to temper tantrum. Temper tantrum can lead to murder, saints of God. There's abuse in the marriage, in the house of the Lord. And I cannot keep but stressing. I know of pastors right now that are pastoring two or three churches right now. They're abusing their wives. She come to church with a black eye, trying to cover it up with ointment. Because they are letting Abaddon influence their lives. Men, if we have anger, or we have rage, or we throw these fits, then we need some deliverance. We need to go to God and say, "God, help me with this thing. This thing is taking control of me." Abaddon in Jewish demonology, he is also a spirit of lust. There are pastors that are having cyber sex on the internet and getting bound by pornography. It's easy to get bound by pornography. Turn the TV on, look at a Christian channel, then boop, here comes Sally with nothing on but a bikini. It's a spirit of lust, wandering eyes. That spirit of burning lust, we need deliverance from that. We can't be effective in this move of God for what's coming for us. I had a man tell me one time, "I don't love my wife. It was just all about lust. I lust for her body. I don't really love her from my heart." How could you have a marriage? Hello, saints of God. This spirit needs to be bound from our relationship. This spirit wants that relationship. Some of you may say, "Well, I've been praying for God to send me a wife. Or I've been praying for God to send me a husband." Abaddon does not want you to get married. It will cause you to commit fornication, commit adultery, be a pedophile. Or it calls you in the area of incest before it seeks to let you get married. And that's why we have to press in intercession and prayer when we're seeking God for godly things. Saints of God, I pray that I'm touching someone's heart. How many times have I seen this spirit in action? How can you leave when Abaddon tells you to get drunk? I've known a pastor that came in the pulpit smelled just like gin. When I was a young man, we used to call gin Naughty Head, and his head was naughty. He'd been drinking Naughty Head. He'd been drinking gin. Abaddon wants that leader to drink so it can cause the spirit of error to move him away from the vision that God has for him. Oh, this has been on my heart heavy. I'm getting ready to close. I'm getting ready to move into deliverance. I love you. But I pray what I've said may have shaken. If there's any strongholds in any areas, I pray what I've said might have shaken those spirits. Caused them to surface. Because some of you may know exactly what we're talking about here. Some of you may be dealing with those same similar situations right now. Some of you may be seeing this spirit in action, but you don't know how to deal with it. I'm getting ready to close. Abaddon wants your marriage. He's a marriage-breaking spirit. He wants your ministry. He wants the anointing that God has placed upon your life. He wants to destroy your livelihood. But as a believer, you should say in your heart, "We will not let it happen." Because we have authority over that spirit, and we're going to dethrone it from our marriages in Jesus' name. We pray that the Holy Spirit will infiltrate our marriages. infiltrate our relationships.
I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, O Lord, that as families will begin to pray together, they will come together as one. I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that there will be mutual consent for prayer and for fasting. Pray, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, that out of this tonight there will be a birthing, and that many will come forth, O God, to step forth in ministry, to step forth in the gifts, to step forth in the callings, O God, to be that devout servant of God in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Father, we loose joy, we loose peace, we loose the blessings of God, we loose adoption as sons and daughters of Christ, and Father, we loose even upon them, Lord, the gifts of the Spirit, that they will be activated and will come out of dormancy and be activated even in their lives. Now, Father, we bless you for what you've done tonight. We thank you, Father, how you move, how your Son Jesus Christ walked up and down these aisles tonight to set these captives free. Now, Lord, we give you the praise and glory, and we magnify, we exalt you, and we thank you for what you've done tonight, dear Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to thank God. The enemy tried to tie my tongue tonight, but thank God the Holy Spirit persevered. Amen.
Amen.
Come on, give the Lord a praise. Amen. Good job. Thank you. Let me give you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.